Hey guys, welcome back to the Moto Academy podcast, the number one podcast in motocross. If you enjoy listening to these episodes and you want to watch full episodes, you can do so inside of the Moto Academy app. Go to themotoacademy.com and join the number one motocross community and online training platform today, and you get all of the benefits of watching full episodes of every single one of these podcasts. Themotoacademy.com. See you inside the community. Hey. Welcome back, Moto Academy podcast, the number one podcast in motocross. But for real, views are up. Views are up, and that could be because we're doing two episodes a week from the studio. We're making studio shifts constantly, so let us know if you like them or don't like them. Studio change is number one. Alley Cat is back in the studio. Just a big sigh. Alley Cat's back in the studio. Pissed.
Guys, as every usual. Day he wakes up and says, can we podcast today? When I said that we should have a podcast studio in the basement, I didn't realize that you were going to be making me do it constantly. Yeah, so.
It wasn't in the cards, but that's what the audience has spoken.
I don't know if they have.
You think I'm just making that up?
Yeah. I'm getting roasted and toasted on these podcasts.
Allie can't handle even the most calm comment.
Like
what was the comment that you couldn't handle? Oh, when she had the phone because she was reading people's answers to the podcast questions. And I forgot, speaking of phones, did I forget mine? Because we have podcast questions I'm supposed to read.
I'm sure we could use mine. I'm not holding a phone.
Well, you're going to get roasted and toasted for it all over
again.
I'm
not holding a phone. And I literally said, someone said, I got like so many comments. Have some respect. Put the phone down.
No, anyway, one comment.
No, there was multiple.
Oh, so two.
But anyways, I commented back to the guy and I said, ouch, with a laughing face. I didn't comment back. I said, actually, I was reading the questions. And do you know what he said to me? No, actually, AJ was the one reading the questions. And then I was like, oh, okay, so you're just stupid. Okay.
So it took that to make you understand that.
Yeah, I just needed to make sure that that's who he was.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, but I got to get used to it.
You always have to remember... Yeah, but you don't have to get used to it. You see it with me all the time.
Yeah, but it's different when it's you and me than me. I actually don't care. I literally will think about it for 2 seconds and then put it down and not care.
Right, but you care enough to respond.
But you best believe I won't have my phone in my hand. Because actually, if I were to see that...
Your thing, J-Cav must have hit it a tiny bit. The box isn't in complete alignment with the mic.
Oh, who cares?
Do you see it? No, I care. Yep, that was... The right, I think you got it. Okay. Yeah, better.
If I were to watch the clip where those people were commenting that, though, I would have found it obnoxious. Because the way I was doing it, I was like looking down and up. With no context, I would have been like, why is she even on there?
Right.
Fair. So, fair. Yeah.
And the clip was like, for some reason, even though, was I talking or were you talking?
You were talking.
It was zeroed in on you. And you didn't even have your phone here. You had it down there.
Jackson's got something against me. I have a question. So if I were to find the podcast questions.
Go to the community feed.
Okay, I found it.
And then go to newest, sort by newest. Ah. By the way, shout out Magic Mind. I've been having it before every podcast, and I think it is definitely helpful. Just zero in, helps with focus. There's some lion's mane mushrooms in here, which I've said it on a lot of podcasts recently, but the benefits of mushrooms and the shroom daddies, look it up. Ton of benefits. And one of which is firing on all syllables. So Magic Mind, if you want to fire on all syllables... Drink some Magic Mind. Go to magicmind.com. Use code MOTO20. Try it. It's worth definitely trying. I have
Moto
no idea.
MOTO20.
What did I say?
MOTO20.
Moto Academy 20.
Oh, man.
I think I said that.
Grant, play it back. Can you do that?
Play it back. I definitely said Moto Academy 20.
Okay. Oh, I can't wait. You want to bet something?
No, because I'm not sure.
Cool.
Yeah, and I have a slight headache right now. So
I would not be taking that before bed, though. I mean, it's 5:56. Really? I'd probably
I'm
take
hoping
that
it's
before, too.
Help soothe the headache a bit.
Is this your second one? Yeah, you said you had one when I walked in the door. I also wouldn't be having multiples.
Yeah, I had one.
Yeah, it's... All right, lead the show, Bert.
Okay, So, two things. One, do you want to start with the questions or do you want to end with the questions? This podcast, the kind of the plan was to talk about...
Well, Dicks and Balls just recently posted questions for us inside of the Moto Academy 2.0 app. So okay. If you're not a member, definitely sign up. I think you can get a 3-day free trial. Try it out. Get into the community tab.
Is that how long
tab.
The trial is?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
I'm the one that made that decision, so.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Get in there. Try it out. You can submit questions with the hashtag podcast questions to be featured in the podcast. Have us answer your questions if you care. If you don't, then toodles. And so he just posted kind of questions that could segue us into what you and I were talking about earlier. Because we kind of had a plan of what we wanted to talk about, right?
Yeah.
So it's totally up to you.
The plan of what we're going to talk about is sort of our trajectory from 2015-ish to current. So eight to nine years of from when Allie and I first moved out essentially on our own. Before that, I was living on my own, but never in my own apartment.
You were kind of like a gypsy, right? You're going back and forth between an RV. Gypsy.
I was living on couches and RVs. I was living at Phil Nicoletti's house on his couch. I was living at when the teams would rent apartments for me, but I was never had my own place. So the trajectory of like when we first had our own place together, which was my first and your first, to current.
No, you weren't the first guy I ever lived with.
What the? And the finances, maybe some business talk. Definitely real estate and mortgage talk and having to get those mortgages and deciding on when we did buy, what that looked like, all of it. So yeah. I feel like it's interesting. There's a lot of lessons to be learned within it.
We and might need to do a part two.
Yeah, probably. And a lot of people ask. And also, I keep thinking you were in this clip. You weren't. Cameraman Cam stole all your thunder.
Because no, he didn't steal my thunder. You did because you took my knowledge and made it your own. Yes. And you got 2 million views and I didn't.
Yeah. Whoopsie daisy. Cameron yeah. Cam was asking about, we were talking about homes and I tossed out the advice of pay twice a month, which we can say it again. You want to get the views now?
Why? I couldn't care less.
And for some reason it got
honestly, probably not because I don't want people sharting
on me. It got 2 million views.
Yeah.
Which is tough to do.
Yeah.
Certainly... Wouldn't have predicted that it would have been on
no, a... No, stuff like that is...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But on the Moto Academy podcast, that well, seems so random.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. So I worked for a bank and...
How about, though, before you get into that, Jackson, I wake up to a text this morning of them talking about it. And Jackson goes, 2 million views. And Grant says something about the view, like the comments being not great. And he goes, oh, it's definitely not a happy and healthy 2 million views, but we got them.
Yeah,
there's something.
It got like 27,000 likes and 800 some odd comments.
It is,
but that stuff is so valuable.
Advice. Do you want to?
Sure, that stuff is so valuable.
Extremely, because we didn't know until not that long ago.
Yeah,
and truly, I was accurate on the math, right? Yeah. It would save us how much? It will save us how much?
So the idea is for those of you that don't know, I worked at a pretty large bank and there were multiple different sectors in the bank. I was in wealth management, but we worked really closely with the mortgage team there. And a lot of things that mortgage brokers won't tell you when they set up your mortgage is that you can pay bi-weekly. Yeah, bi-weekly or bi-monthly? No, bi-weekly mortgage payments. So essentially bi-weekly. So essentially you pay two payments in a month. So let's say your mortgage is $6,000. You would pay $3,000 on the first of the month and $3,000 on the 14th of the month. So you're paying the same dollar amount in a month's time period, but it's split up into two. So instead of paying 12 payments towards interest each year, you're paying 20, I think it ends up actually being 26 mortgage payments.
And the frequency of which? There's something to do with not just it does add an additional or two or however many payments, but it's
doubling down on the amount of payments towards interest is what it is.
Towards principal?
Both. But in interest's eyes, you're paying double the amount of payments towards interest.
Okay. Don't add too many details there.
I'm not.
Because you don't understand the details.
Kind of complicated.
But when you looked up for our specific situation,
so
tell us the numbers.
So our house, we purchased our house for a little under 750. Mortgage rates were our mortgage rate is 7.2%.
Shout out. Expensive mortgage.
Shout out. Yeah, that really sucks, to be honest. And so our interest over the 30-year loan would have been $1 million. Because we are doing the biweekly mortgage payments.
That's crazy.
Yeah, we are saving $600,000 in interest. And also simultaneously...
Are you sure it's not $400,000?
Yes, I'm sure. Also simultaneously, what it does is it brings down your loan term. So if our rent, our Pat is calling from the condos.
Do you want to answer?
No, it's okay. So if your mortgage term is 30 years, when we did this biweekly payment, it brought it down to like 26 years maybe on the loan. So it cut, not only did it cut off $600,000 of interest, but then it also shortened our loan term by 4 years or whatever it was, which is pretty cool. If you think about it,
what's our mortgage at 7-something%?
Why are you asking that?
Because first of all, I don't know. Second of all, the audience might want to know.
Our mortgage makes me sick. It actually keeps me up at night, and it's the exact reason why I didn't want to quit my job. Our mortgage is $6,500 a month, or $6,400 a month.
That's not bad.
Sure, Jackson's going to clip that, and then you're just going to get roasted and toasted.
That's not that bad. But the good news is the way I look at buying houses is that at a high interest rate, also there's probably plenty of people watching this, listening to this, watching this clip, that 7% interest rate isn't high, right? Was it way higher at one point?
If you talk to people at like our dad's, like our parents' age, back in the day, mortgage rates were like over 10%.
Okay.
But that doesn't matter. Like we have an investment property in Virginia, in Northern Virginia, and that interest rate is 2.1%. We have such a nice.
And we'll talk
we
about
were
that.
So yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Okay. So, but that's. I thought the mortgage was more.
No, and I kind of justify this in a few different ways. When we lived in Tampa last year, when AJ was training at the dog pound, our rent there was just under $6,000. No, it was probably actually $6,000 with parking and everything. And that was just money out the door. But now you could argue the amount of cash that's actually going towards principal in this mortgage is like $700. So you think about that, how much money is actually going to waste. Now that's eating away at that $400,000 interest payment over the course of the 30 years or 24 years, whatever it was. But it's not pretty.
That is also, though, at this interest rate. So the hope would be, okay, buy it now. Because the most common thing you hear is, I'm going to wait. And it's like, well, probably not a good move, because either the interest rate is going to go down, which is going to make home prices go up, or vice versa.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like every time interest rates go down, all it does is push the value of the homes higher. It's kind of like a cycle where the value of the homes will go up because interest rates go down, and then they'll try and, you know, change the economy because there's too much cash flowing around. So then they'll raise the interest rates again. So the housing prices are still here. And then what they're going to do maybe next election, or when they ease up the economy, the interest rates are going to go back down. And then what's going to happen to the prices of the houses again? So now this house, well, let's say it was 750 because interest rates were lower. Well, hold on. I just made that kind of confusing. Do you know what I'm saying?
When interest rates lower.
Every time interest rates lower, the price of the housing goes up.
Yeah.
So this house
without renovations would be in 5 to 7
years. Well,
you
can't really put an exact year on it because it totally depends on what's happening in the economy.
I would say that in 5 to 7 years, this will be a $900,000 house without any renovations. I think we bought it at a good time. I think we bought it right before. This house should have been more expensive than it was.
Well, absolutely. And the interesting thing about this house was there were 14 or 15 offers on it. And the only reason why we got it, well, we offered more money, but we also said no inspection, which I don't necessarily recommend, but we've done it for
no inspections.
We've done it for the last 3 houses.
We have?
Yeah. And it's helped us. Hey. That's why we also got the Northern Virginia townhouse in River Creek. The other buyer was cash, a little bit lower of a price than us, but cash. We said no inspections, and we came in at listing, and we got it.
Wow. Yeah, it's a good trick to have up your sleeve.
Only if you have the ability, if something catastrophic happens, where you can then come up with the funds to pay for whatever happens. Like this house, there's been so many things that have gone wrong. I look around all the time and I'm like, oh my gosh, if they had had an inspection on this house, that inspector would have had a field day. Yeah. Like, we need to get all that stuff fixed.
Totally. Totally. I mean, which was also, we knew as soon as our offer was accepted, it was kind of a red flag of like, oh, well.
Are they sure?
Well, they accepted it because there was no inspection, which isn't a good sign for us. But we were planning on doing everything anyways.
Yeah.
For the most part. Still
risky.
If you're
like us and you like to completely renovate a house, it's a great situation.
Yeah. So in this, okay. So we can back up. But the reason I justified a $6,500 a month mortgage, couple of reasons. One, I always tell you, this is the least amount of money we'll ever make right now. We'll always make only more and more and more and more, which is fantastic. And it's a good way to think.
He has to tell me that
you
every
could disagree
night.
With me. She disagrees with me, but it's accurate.
No, I don't disagree.
Okay. So if we can afford it now, then we certainly are going to be able to afford it even easier in the future. And then the interest rate, when it lowers, the mortgage will be way, way cheaper.
Yeah, that's why I'm okay with it. Because as long as you can afford the payment now, you have to know that unless like something bad really happens in the economy, rates will eventually come down maybe a little bit. I mean, they are kind of high right now. Even if they go down to like 4 or 5%, that would still take, that'd make a huge difference. Yeah. So as long as you can afford the mortgage with the interest rate high, I would say buy. Because, I mean, imagine like the houses that my dad bought 10 years ago. If
yeah,
kept
any house
those.
That anybody bought 10 years ago, it's like, well, yeah, we wish we could have been around then.
Yeah.
That's what people will think, hopefully, in 10 years. So it's like, don't wait, because there's never a better time than now,
in my opinion.
And I don't know anything, by the way.
I already regret selling the Reston townhouse.
Oh.
Already. And that was, we bought that in 2019.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go to the beginning. Or do you want to start with whatever
the
questions?
Yeah, why don't we start with the questions?
Okay. Shout out Dixon Balls.
Shout out Dixon Balls, a local Connecticuter. Okay, podcast question, AJ and Allie. Are you successful? Having accomplished more than most of us, don't like how he said that, do you consider yourself successful at this point? If so, and it all went away tomorrow, would it be a success regardless? He's got three questions, so let's start with that one.
Okay, so that was the question?
That was one of them.
Yeah, but success isn't a destination. Success is a...
Oh, here we go.
The definition of success, and I'm not going to be able to come up... I'm not going to be able to come up with it off the top of my head because I have a feeling I'm not firing on all syllables at the moment. Even though we haven't really started yet, I could just tell.
I could tell because your bathroom break before we came on.
That was just a pee. Yeah, that was...
You should have wiped to check.
What?
Continue.
Read the question one more time.
Yeah, I knew you weren't listening. Are you successful? Having accomplished more than most of us, do you consider yourself successful at this point? If so, and it all went away tomorrow, would it be a success regardless?
Yeah.
I say yes, yes,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Yes.
So success to me, especially like a lot of the books that I read will have success in the title, and I don't equate success to some financial
gain
tier. I don't equate it to some status or any of that. I think that success to me is... literally the pursuit of pursuing what you love and doing what you love in helping other people with that thing. Mm-hmm. So that's always the advice I give. It's like, find the thing that you love, get really good at it, or vice versa, something that you're really good at, learn to love it, which a lot of people I think do, and then figure out how you can help somebody else with that thing. Mm-hmm. And then success is just the pursuit of that.
Yeah. It's funny because you're going to get angry at me for saying this probably, but I don't look at us as successful. I almost have like imposter syndrome.
You totally do. It's very frustrating. Oh my gosh.
Well, I think from my perspective, I just try not to have like a big ego and I try to stay grounded. And I feel like if I think that, then
it's like self-deprecating humbleness. Hmm. And also it's a little bit of like, you could tell you have fixed mindset definitions sometimes of success, certainly monetary success.
Yeah, and we talked about that the other night, actually. We had a long conversation about my childhood.
You have a goalpost that's high, and it's also a moving goalpost.
No. No, my one thing that, well, this is for financial success, is just like a huge cushion. Not a huge, well, maybe to most people, a huge cushion, but I want a cushion. And
yeah, what does that mean?
Well, I have a dollar amount for my cushion.
Okay.
Which I won't share.
We've got it.
No, we don't. And it's because you own a business. And I think it's just...
We've got it.
People don't understand a lot of the times how much money you spend if you have a business. And so it just makes me a little nervous, but that's it. I think I look at you as being successful.
Extremely.
So if it all went away tomorrow, would it be success regardless? I would say absolutely.
Yeah. That's the best part. When I walk around Old Weathersfield in the morning, I look at houses that are $180,000.
We were doing that this morning, actually.
And would be completely content.
Yeah.
Living in that house.
Yeah.
You could take all of it away.
Well, and I seriously think that aside from land, I don't like those little houses in Weathersfield where we go and get coffee every morning. Like, I want one of those. I honestly think that having much less would be better for my personality
success,
type.
Got a better definition. And then I have to ask you how you answer it.
I was just trying.
Success. Millie's crying.
Your mom goes, shh.
Success is creating your time and your life exactly how you want it every single day.
Yeah.
Right? Which we do that. 100%.
Yeah.
We have complete freedom to do anything we want whenever we want to do it. If we wanted to wake up tomorrow and fly to Australia for some reason, we literally could do that.
You know what's so funny is I actually had that thought the other day and we don't.
Financially, we could afford it. And also we have freedom of time, which the freedom of time is way more important than the financial. The financial has its restrictions for sure. But if you stripped away the financial and still gave me the time, which is why I'm not concerned, because you could strip away the financial and I will still prioritize time over anything. So it wouldn't matter where we lived. I could be happy living in our Sprinter van. You take that away, I could be happy living in my mom's house in the third bedroom. If you took that away, I could be happy. Like, I just want to be able, what I wouldn't be happy with is if you said, AJ, you could live in the mansion up the road, but you have to go work this job from 9 to 5 every day.
Yeah. There's actually
I'd be like, uh-uh.
At the top of our road, there's like these mansions. And when I say mansions, I mean how...
Castles.
Yeah, like over 10,000 square foot castles.
Yeah, way more.
Absurd.
20,000. I mean,
there's this guy, he drives like a really nice Mercedes car. And when I walk Millie, he drove by us the other day, actually, when we were walking yesterday when I was having my meltdown. He drives... It's like he gets home a little early. Like you tell, maybe he has a kind of job, obviously, if he's driving up the hill where he's definitely making a lot of money, but he's kind of stuck to his job, but maybe he can get home a little earlier. He usually starts driving up the hill at like 4 o'clock. Miserable. And when I tell you he looks miserable, he looks miserable. And I always just think, gosh, I've had this thought several times. You're driving up there. That is like... Probably there's people that drive up this hill to go watch the sunset every day. All these people that would probably dream to live in there. And that guy's driving up looking miserable. Won't wave. Doesn't smile. Nothing. All that work.
The book I'm reading right now
sticks with me.
Talks like crazy and dives in a lot in the ego. It's Eckhart Tolle, A New Earth is what it's called. Mm-hmm. Dives really deep in the ego. And it talks about how you don't own anything. And so people that are striving to own things and to accumulate, mm-hmm. to add on to their self-image, essentially, and to build the self-image by thinking that you own things, when in reality, you don't. You can't own anything. You don't own this house. You don't own any land. You don't own even your own body. You're just borrowing it for 100 years. And then you move on and then your body goes away.
I agree, but I also think that you like owning things.
Me?
Yes.
No, I don't.
You have literally told me so many times how many homes you want to own.
Yeah, but I've changed my mind since.
Since when? You were just saying that in Florida.
I'd say in the last year.
Well, that's not true. Come on. Hey, now.
Because we can't enjoy all of them at once.
That was
it's
my
like
argument
having a bunch
to
of
you.
Pairs of shoes. You look around and you're like, well, I can
that
only wear one pair of
that
shoes at the same time.
That was my argument to you, though. And in Florida, you were like, no, no, no.
Yeah, because you want to stop for the sake of stopping.
I want to stop for the sake of simplicity of life. That's why I don't want our Florida condo anymore, because I'm dealing with that way too much, considering we have somebody that actually manages it for us, and I'm still having to deal with it that much. I manage our Virginia property. Like, they become a pain in the neck.
How cool is it, though, that we sprinted for not that long, really?
That was a hard sprint for
you. Well, I guess it was 8 years, 9 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
But now we can be like, okay, don't need that, don't need this, don't need that. Let's zero in on the business, which we were doing kind of the whole time. But now it's like really zero in on the business. And
yeah,
we're fine.
Yeah.
And we'll always be fine.
Yeah. I'm starting to believe that more and more. I think it's just somebody that has a fixed mindset like me when it comes to money because of my parents. Like, my parents were very successful, most people would say. Well, I guess my dad's a lot different than my mom. My mom is very fixed when it comes to money, and I guess my dad's a little bit more like you, but I just always had this concern for money, even though I grew up in a household that didn't need money, which is funny. And you are the complete opposite, and you kind of grew up in a house, not that needed money, but that was had to be much more aware of it. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, but I've just done a good job of convincing myself that it's very easy to have a good thought about anything, especially like complimenting yourself, thinking about, wow, like things are going well, like I've got plenty. And then the first thing that creeps into your head is like, but, and then it wants to come up, your head wants to come up with some weird excuse. And then I finally got to the point where I was like, oh, you actually don't have to continue on with the but part. You could just either stop the thinking right there, or you just compound another positive thought.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I say, and you've stopped now, finally, took a long time. Every time I would say something, because I start to like feel a certain way sometimes, a good way, like I'm basically in alpha and maybe time traveling a little bit and piecing things together. And sometimes I'll think out loud and I'll say, wow. And part of doing that is gratitude.
Oh.
What were you going to say?
Intentional. I don't know.
No, part of doing that is gratitude. So I'll like out loud will say, "What? How amazing is this? Like, we've done it. We've done it. We don't have to make any more. Like, we've done it." Or another, like I always say, this is the least amount of money that we'll ever have. The least amount of money that we'll ever make. And it's way more than we would ever need.
I think
See?
That's the dreamer.
Isn't it painting you to not say something back to that? That's true. What I just said is true.
But we could not live off of the money that we have for the rest of our lives.
This is the right now is the least amount of money we'll ever make.
Yeah, got that.
So my statement isn't saying that the income is going to stop. In fact, we're making more forever. And we have already, right now, more than we would ever need.
Okay, I think that statement just can be kind of confusing because you're making it sound as we could live off of what we have, and that's not the case.
No,
okay.
But we would never want to, because why would I retire from the thing that I love most other than Mill Dogs, Doug Dogs, and Alley Cat?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So yeah. Instead of saying, but no.
Well, now I understand.
We've got this bill and we've got this thing. It's like, well, you just ruined the moment. How about just say, yeah, it is actually amazing.
It is amazing.
It's easier to stew in that for a few minutes and then time travel quickly if you want to off of that feeling. That's what manifestation is, folks.
Yeah.
It's creating a feeling now, right here in the present moment, while having a vision of what the future is, but having a feeling in the present moment that you've already achieved that thing. So that's why I think you do it sometimes too, whether intentionally or not, but I will stand in the perfect spot to be able to see the house, the French house that I want, or standing in a perfect spot next to the French house, looking down to like envision a perspective of like, once we're in it, what it looks like from there. And then I combine that visual with the thought of gratitude for what we already have. And that's how you manifest.
Yeah,
and
you I lose shouldn't me do when you look at that house manifest. Though, because that house ain't it.
think that house is it.
I don't need 10,000 square feet of a house.
It's 9,000. And also,
listen to yourself.
I told Allie it would be fun. I don't want a big house, but this house is perfect. Minus the fact that it's too big.
No, it's not.
So what you could do is you could set aside, you could set aside rooms and quarters of the home.
This sounds ridiculous.
To explore and like,
this is why I have financial anxiety.
So next quarter we're going to go,
okay, now you're kidding.
We're going to live in this part of the house.
Yeah. Yeah.
And get this view because the light's coming in at this, whatever.
Oh, okay. All right.
And then next quarter we can go down the hallway and the light's hitting in a different way.
Wow. Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not happening. Anyways, shall we move on?
Great question. Did you answer? What's success? Is my answer your answer?
Yeah.
Okay. I've got a headache.
Has your definition of success changed over time? If so, what were the moments or experiences that triggered those changes?
Everybody's going to think that the podcast just cut out because we just went silent for too long. Do you
Has your definition of success changed over time? Well, definitely. Absolutely. If so, what were the moments or experiences that triggered those changes? You go if you have something.
Yes, it has 100%. And it went from being very materialistic view of what success was.
Because we both went through that together.
I didn't have it then. And it is also going up the ladder of the pyramid that I've talked about in the podcast before, of going from survival to status to your higher calling.
Yep.
The specific experiences would just be all reading the books, trying to think of specific moments in reading the books. But I would say maybe more so when... No, all throughout. Even Think and Grow Rich, which my dad gave Think and Grow Rich back to me because he said, I'm never going to have money. I don't even want to read this book. He like tried to start it.
I was there.
Thought that it was about money. And he believes so much that he'll never have money that he gave it back.
Which is so wild because your dad was making a lot of money and has lived in the same house your whole life. Imagine how much money he could have had.
Should have millions and millions and millions of dollars. Yeah.
Yeah. That's wild.
Which doesn't matter.
No. He's happy. He's fine.
But So what the heck? Oh, I read Think and Grow Rich, not with the mindset of I was, trying to create a
income
money consciousness, but I was also reading it to learn holistically.
Yeah.
And so there was moments even in that book that I had moments of realization of what success was, starting to define it, and then especially starting to read more of the other stuff that I was reading, like Eckhart Tolle and that. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you?
My definition of success changed. This is like sort of personal maybe for the podcast, but when I was experiencing like infertility and I wanted a baby really bad and I couldn't have it for 3 years or however long it took, before experiencing that and having to like really slow down and take care of myself and learn that I was wrapped up in the wrong things, I placed success as how much money I was making at my job, the team that I worked for, the area we lived in, the type of furniture I had in our home, the type of car I was driving. And when I went through the experience of trying to conceive, everything changed for me. I don't know why. I took a step back from pretty much everything and put my whole focus into that. And then as soon as I had Millie, my definition of success is literally just family. It's like waking up in the morning and looking over at both of you and Doug and just seeing like a smiling face on a baby, hiking and like seeing the sun peek through the trees and all of us are just like totally relaxed and happy. Like that is my definition of success. And it's funny because obviously it took money.
That's what it is.
It took money to like get to this point where we have the flexibility that we have. And, you know, I was working a lot and we'll talk about it in a little bit. Like my job is the reason why we got a lot of the homes that we did while you were building your business. And like, there was a lot of different pieces to get us here, but man, you just realize like nothing is better than family. Nothing. So that's my definition of success and it has definitely changed.
Yeah. Jim Carrey has a really good commencement speech or something where he just says, I wish that everybody could be rich and famous so they could realize that that's not
the way to go.
That's not what it's about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that we're rich and famous, but...
Well, I feel like we've had some really good experiences of like...
experimenting with materialistic things.
Well, definitely that, and then being disappointed by it.
Yep.
And then also like catastrophic things happening, which we've talked about probably way too much on the podcast, with like business ventures and things like that, to make you realize, I don't know, just a lot of things that have put all, it's just all the pieces that have put it all together for us, right?
Yeah. In those moments, I have the thought of like, oh, take it all away.
Take it all. And that's why when you kind of talk about
it, right,
like,
back, first of all.
Yeah.
And even if we didn't, totally happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good feeling.
It is a good feeling. And I think that's also why I've started to focus less on money.
Because we have all of the tools.
Yeah.
We don't know anything yet. I'm 30, you're 28. But we're starting to collect all the tools
One thing I'm having a thought of as I hear her cry is it's her bedtime.
What time is it?
6:30. She's going to give your mom a really hard time. Should one of us let her know, or you think it's fine? She stopped crying. His last question was, would you say that past successes make you bolder, or do they make you more cautious when it comes to taking the next calculated risk?
Past successes?
Yeah. Do they make you bolder, or do they make you more calculated?
Both. Good. Great questions. So they make me more calculated because I have the inner belief and the confidence to slow down, to calculate, and to really be intentional with the direction. And what was the other part of that? Bolder.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes us more bold because it's a deep-seated belief. So you believe. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can believe right from the beginning. You should form the belief before you start doing the things, but that's hard to do. I wasn't able to do it. Backing up to the last topic we were just talking about, I remember specific interviews where I've seen celebrities or rich people, I think celebrities, talk about how I walked away from a $10 million deal, or I walked away from a $100 million deal because I just wanted to be with the family, or just didn't want to do it. And I would hear those and be like, all right, there's
more to the story.
Yeah. There's more to the story, or there's something wrong with that guy. Like, what an idiot. Now I'm like, oh yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
Because you don't need that much money.
And you realize when people start paying you, and like, I just kind of think about, there's certain things I think about that I won't say, but like, how do I put this?
I have no idea what you're about to say.
Not yet, obviously, but sort of along that lines. Like, when there's always, if you're connected in some way, or you're paid by somebody, or like I'm in this deal, for example, like somebody in Hollywood turning down a $100 million deal, there's always like strings attached to those things. And you're always limited on what you can do because you're under said deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
So the deal, that in itself is really not worth it.
Our deal ending with Jet, our deal ending, us ending the deal with Lucas was awesome.
Yeah.
It was the best thing that could have ever happened because it did finally liberate us completely from any ties to anything. Now, not to say that it really was doing that before that much. I think we were in
it just limited very what natural, you wanted to do as a creative.
We were in super alignment anyways, I think, with the Lawrence family.
Mm-hmm.
And with Lucas for the most part, from like a high level picture. But mm-hmm. Yeah, it just created these little ties here and there to where you either had to like walk on eggshells sometimes, or had to be just a little bit careful.
Yeah.
And getting away from that now, it makes me realize, oh, this is what complete freedom feels like. Because there's a lot of brands, most brands are, and individuals are tied to the industry. I want to be the industry. I want to, not that I care about owning things, because we just talked about that. I want to be it. Does that make sense?
I want to be it. I want to be
Moto
it.
Academy is certainly on the trajectory to be the whole thing.
Well, it's funny because as someone that knew nothing about dirt bikes or the industry or had zero interest in Supercross, going to those races and just kind of being in that experience of like the industry, not as like a viewer that would just pay for a ticket and go to Supercross, but like actually in it and seeing how people are treated and the way that people act. And it's just like bizarre. Of course you don't want to be in it. And you see how they limit riders. Like it's, this is totally off topic now, but like who runs Supercross? Is it the AMA or whoever?
Yeah. And to think
the way they don't allow privateers to sell their own apparel, and then Jet can go and sell donuts and do everything that he'd, there's just so many things that are.
And it's easy to forget about that. Somebody had the idea to start that and built it from the ground up once upon a time. Right. Instead of thinking that that's the only option to go up through the ranks and to go to all these amateur nationals and to do it the traditional route, what made me realize that we're on the right trajectory, weirdly enough, is when I watched the King Richard
movie. I knew you were going to say that, yeah.
With Venus and Serena Williams and their brilliant father who created a vision of how he thought that he could cultivate them into something that the world has never seen. I am 100% certain that we're doing that with Moto Academy, and that I could do that if Millie decided to race, or any sport for that matter. Mm. Benefit of racing is I have all of the knowledge. So
yeah,
where he had a lot of knowledge with tennis, but he didn't, but he built the knowledge. Yeah. I wouldn't have time to build the knowledge in another sport right now.
You would in 5 years, maybe.
Yeah, I guess so. But he took such a different path than everybody else. And, what was I saying? So knowing that there's alternative methods of getting there, and to think to rewinding 10 years ago or 15 years ago, I didn't think there was another reality other than, oh, I've got to go to this race because this is the most important race. And then I got to go to this race. Who, by the way, there's somebody that owns that race and that promotion. Why wouldn't you want to be that guy? That controls the whole thing, that is the creative vision of how the whole thing works,
because then you wouldn't have the time to race
and how it grows. Yeah, but it's like, well, why even race?
But huh, because they,
yeah, no, but I just, like,
that's like saying why play tennis and be a pro tennis player when you could,
yeah,
own the tournament. The, that doesn't make sense. Important.
I'm just saying where I am now.
Oh yeah, but for the average person. Well, when I asked you this after watching that movie, the King Richard movie the other night, was, do you have to win national? Like, do you have to go to nationals?
No, it made me think, like, if Millie, for example, wanted to race Supercross one day, I wouldn't have her do any amateur nationals.
Why?
None.
Wouldn't you argue, and same thing for the King Richard movie, wouldn't you argue that that would be for...
You could certainly argue that, but I would go his route in saying that cultivating that complete inner belief and exposing... They did
tournaments.
They did the juniors, but they didn't do it until they waited longer than they could have. He did it and then pulled her from it. And then she didn't, Venus didn't play in the juniors for 3 years, I think, is what the movie said, before her first professional match. 3 years of no juniors. So imagine from age 16 to 19.
Yeah, but you don't think that
no amateur nationals.
You don't think that would hinder confidence?
No. I think as long as you're not exposed to the real world, that's why he was so sensitive to it, because yeah, they lived in their own the reality, which you can do.
Funny, if I had watched that like 4 years ago, I feel like that movie kind of came at the right time for us in different ways, if that makes sense. Because if you and I had watched that 4 years ago, we would have been like, that guy's such a quack. They're lucky that they've made it out and did what they did.
Oh, you think?
I think so. I mean, now we watch and we're like, holy crap. Like that is,
yeah, stopping
a smart
the interview.
Dad.
Like the interviewer asks, like, do you think you can beat this best player in the world? She goes, yeah, I know I can. I believe I, and he asks again, why, doubling down. And she just says, I just believe that I can. And then he asks another follow-up question, kind of like trying to like chip holes, and he immediately stops it. And goes,
she gave you the answer.
14-year-old girl. She gave you the answer in confidence. Let it be. Like, that's the reality that you would want to live in. Because why would you argue otherwise? Oh, well, that's not what the real world's like. And it's like, yeah, it is.
If you believe.
The real world is whatever you want it to be. So if you're the person saying that, then yeah, that's not what your real world is like. But it's what my real world is. And it's what Millie's real world would be.
Yeah.
You will fail constantly, but it's like failing is, to me, failing always means this, and that's not what failing is.
Wait, to you, failing means that?
No, it's easy to, in people's heads, to think of failure as this.
A dip, yeah.
Yeah, not a dip, but like a failure.
Well, I was
like,
trying to explain quit, for people done. That aren't watching.
Yeah. And it's not that.
It's more of like.
Yeah, or just like this. Like
some of the biggest failures we've had are what.
It's just like moving sideways.
Catapulted
and
us upwards.
So it puts you on a
yeah.
different trajectory than what you thought you were going to be on. And then when you reflect back on that failure, a year later, 6 months later, 5 years later, you go, oh, well, not only am I 10 times further ahead than where I was when I had that failure, but I'm way further along than I ever thought I would be in a totally different way than I ever thought
yeah.
I would be.
You know what that just made me think of?
What?
You couldn't guess.
No.
Our neighbor yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
We have a neighbor and we haven't seen her in almost a year because we had Millie and then we went to Florida. And we hardly know her. We talked to her maybe a couple times before. We saw her walking her cute little golden retriever
yesterday.
I've only
talked to her once.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
so that was your second time?
That was the second time.
Okay. Yeah, probably same. And she was walking and AJ was like, well, let's just kind of walk up to her and say hi. We haven't seen her forever. And I'm like, oh gosh, here we go. She just had this aura of like energy sucking negativity. The way she said hi to us and hardly looked back at us, there was no smile, no nothing. All she could do, she had a knee replacement last year, right? And now something's wrong with her other tendon or knee, she was saying. The entire conversation, we walked away and we were like, holy crap, that was an energy suck. The entire conversation was negative. And I don't think she realized it, the entire thing. And she hasn't seen us in a year. And AJ goes, Matt, like, we haven't seen her in a year. And that's the entire conversation was her pointing out negative
and
things.
And we're complete strangers.
Complete, so, that's what you said though. I was like, wow.
Yeah, that's her second interaction with us ever.
A complete stranger.
That was the best she had.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah, it makes me sad.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, people build these self-images of just suck.
We've been having some really good conversations about stuff like that lately.
It's so easy now already, and I've just started learning. So that should give you guys, anybody listening that feels like they struggle with the way they think about themselves or their life story, their entire self-image that they've created for themselves. I was just as bad not that long ago. I was just as bad 3 years ago. Extremely bad 5 years ago. Absolutely horrible 10 years ago.
I can attest to this.
And
it's been 10 years.
And now I realize completely that your self-image is a ethereal, is that the word? Ever-changing, fluid thing. It has to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you claim your self-image as you own it and this is it, then, well, that's fixed mindset. You're stuck there forever. Good luck to you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to constantly change.
Yeah. Yeah. It's.
And stop telling yourself the same freaking story. I heard it again today with the friend that came over, like, said the same thing to you that they said to me, which was, you have a plan until you get punched in the face. Said that to me in that story, said it to you in that story. And the only thing I can think of is, how many times have they said that story?
You're literally just throwing yourself in the wrong direction of where
identity.
You want to be. Yeah.
They've made that their identity. Yeah, that's not good. Your identity is.
Yeah.
Needs to be fluid and it needs to change always. And you have to not get comfortable with that because it's never comfortable, actually. It's supposed to be uncomfortable.
Well, I don't know. I kind of disagree with that. And I want to wrap it up in the next 10 minutes.
Huh?
We'll do a part two.
The part two is going to be, we didn't even start yet.
That's okay.
Okay.
We'll keep people hanging on a little cliffhanger.
All right.
I will say I think it does get easier, actually.
Yeah.
And granted, the little things that I'm talking about, maybe you can't say that for, but like, so I've been in a huge funk lately. Huge funk.
Yeah.
And we were in the car on the way to Heirloom Market today. I think I was like tearing up talking to you about something. I'm just having a really, really hard time with having like my identity right now and having zero time for myself, and I'm not sleeping at night and the days are going very quickly, and I'm just in a phase where I'm feeling sort of bad for myself. And I was sitting in the car, like literally thinking to myself, get a grip. And yeah, I listed all the things that I had. And I was telling you, I've got this to be grateful for, blah, blah, blah. As soon as we got to the coffee shop this morning, I was fine. Now I'm still going through waves of it, but it's like, it's so easy to get trapped in like a negative downward spiral to feel bad for yourself or to be like, well, this is my destiny, or, well, this is just how it's going to be. And it's not how it's going to be. Shout out Dirt Bikes in the background. Shout out Lenoci.
Doing a wheelie. You can hear it.
Yeah.
Just shifting gears on the wheelie.
I think success means different things to different people, but I think ultimately success is peace and family and simplicity. To wrap up all of his questions, because they were all around success. And I'm done. Would you like to finish up? Maybe you can keep podcasting while I start cooking dinner.
No.
Yeah, you're not.
I've got deliverables that I have to do.
Okay.
So, editor's note, Grant, hang around for the deliverables.
All right. So we're going to do part two.
Almost threw up.
Let's do it tomorrow while Millie's napping. Sound good?
Almost threw up again.
All right. Toodaloo, guys. It's been great.
Almost threw up a third time. Oh, just like that. Yeah. Okay. Number one podcast in motocross. She left really quickly. So... now I'm just by myself. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for watching if you watched it, because that means you're inside the Moto Academy app. Actually, no, it doesn't, because one episode a week now out of the two will be on YouTube. Full length version on YouTube. Because we felt like we were offering, honestly, way too much value inside of the app, which we always will offer way too much value inside of the app. But we wanted to have, we felt like it was necessary to have one of the full length ones a week on YouTube. So that will happen. Don't know if it'll be this one or not. Might be. Okay. Toodaloo, guys. Deliverables coming right up. Let's see what they are. Oh, if you guys are still here, definitely nobody listening at this point. Part two will be coming to this podcast. So if you do want to hear the origin story, Grant, editor's note, probably don't call this title, this podcast, the origin story, because that would be a little unfair. But part two will be a bit of the origin story of how we made things happen. Okay. Toodaloo.